Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
When the cost of a gallon of gasoline gets to above $3.35 a gallon.
That's a disappointing glimpse into your future.
Mr. President, is it true that we're going to give $450,000 to border crossers who are separated?
Fingers in your ears and make the la-la sound. La-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Our school boards were fine. As soon as Glenn Youngkin got nominated, all of a sudden these people started showing up, creating such a ruckus.
What in God's name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. And again, it's at the bottom of the hour. We're going to let all candidates come on who want to, who are on the ballot tomorrow, wherever you're on the ballot for the municipal elections, or it could be the state elections in Virginia and New Jersey. But the number is 844-500-4242. But first, we had a chance to talk today to Peter Navarro. He's got a great new book coming out tomorrow. In Trump Time, A Journal of America's Plague Year. And you know Peter Navarro, you saw him on TV many times during the Trump years. He was one of Trump's earliest aides, and he was the assistant to the president and director of the Office of Trade and Manufacturing Policy. And new book, we're going to find out something about it, but what attracted me to it this morning, I picked up the New York Post, and Miranda Devine said, Trump aide exposes dangerous Fauci. So That had me right there. And Peter Navarro, it's great to have you with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Great to be with you again. So, Howie, I had you at let's put Fauci in an orange jumpsuit. I'm glad. And look, the In Trump Time book, in all seriousness, is based on my daily journal. I was one of only three senior White House officials who made it all the way from the campaign in 2016 all the way to the end. And you and I, by the way, talked along the way more than once.
Oh, I know. I remember well.
But here's the punchline. It's like there's what the In Trump Time book gets to the bottom of a bunch of things. First of all, what happened in that Wuhan bioweapons lab. Spoiler alert there, Fauci is responsible for that virus and killing millions along with the Chinese Communist Party. He belongs in friggin' jail. I will make that case in the Trump Time book. And here's my offer. Anybody who reads the book, by the time they get to the end, if they don't think Fauci belongs in jail, I'll give you double your money back. We're going to get to the
bottom. So how long do you think it's going to be? I'm looking at it right now. The book officially published tomorrow, and it's on Amazon. It's number one bestseller in nationalism, and it's number 77 overall, which is amazing, considering it hasn't even been officially published yet. How long do you think it's going to be before they take the book off of Amazon, though, when you're saying things like this? You're talking about St. Anthony.
Don't be jinxing me, Howie. This book, it's a phenomenon already. It's already the demand for it. It went up on Amazon in pre-order about 3 weeks ago, and the demand, according to the Ingram distributor, is over 200,000 copies. And the beauty of it, Howie, is that we're not getting any love whatsoever, as you might expect, from any of the so-called mainstream media. You know, like the New York Times reporters, Washington Post, CNN, man, they see the book and they run away. You know, it's like they're kryptonite because it exposes all their fake news. But you know, after it's on the Howie Carr Show, I'm sure it'll be up to number one by midnight. So no pressure, Howie.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, I just was reading from a story in The Hill about how this guy named Jim Jones is very disappointed that faith in health experts has declined over the last year and a half or 2 years. And I wonder why it's declined, Peter Navarro.
Yeah, I wonder why it's declined. You know, there's a great story, chapter two of the In Trump Time book, when I first meet Fauci, right? And then, it's like I didn't know he was a saint, didn't know he walked on water, didn't know he was friggin' God when I met him. But it was like the boss, the President Trump, had like sent me on January 28, 2020, this was the dawn of the pandemic. Like, me and the boss and Robert O'Brien were the only three people in the White House.
The tall guy, Robert O'Brien, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he's just wonderful. The National Security Advisor.
Right.
Fourth time's a charm. Like Bolton, what an idiot. And McMaster, what an idiot. And Flynn, I love the guy, but he got, like his legs cut out from him.
He got sandbagged.
But anyway, the point is that he got sandbagged. The point is that the boss sends me in there to make the case for the China travel ban. And I walk in there, and the feckless, hapless Mulvaney, the chief of staff, sitting at the end of the table chairing the meeting. I'm not going to have trouble with him. I got one of Pompeo's hacks on my left shoulder. The bumbling Orville Redenbacher doppelganger, Bob Redfield of the CDC, is across from me along with...
What a great description.
I know I'm going to have trouble with all of them, right? And that's exactly how he described it in the Trump Time book. But there's this little guy out. He's a little round glass. He's sitting across me. Didn't know it from Adam, right? And 2 minutes in, Allie, I mean, I'm like in a screaming match with this SOB. And all he keeps saying is travel bans don't work. And I'm going, dude. I said dude. I actually said dude to the guy in the Situation Room. It's like, dude, it's like, you mean to tell me, like, you got 20,000 Chinese nationals coming in every day to Logan and Kennedy and O'Hare and LAX, and then, like, half of them lit up like the Wuhan Christmas tree virus, that we shouldn't keep them out? And he goes, well, travel bans don't work. And I'm thinking, Howie, it's like, this guy, he thinks he's smarter than he is. Always trouble.
Right.
Always trouble. And I knew right then, that guy was going to hurt us and the president. But here's what's interesting about it. Fauci, at that point, the end of January, and I argue this firmly in the In Trump Time book, he already knew that friggin' virus came from the bioweapons lab in Wuhan and that he was likely responsible for it. Because what did he know then? We knew the thing came from Wuhan. We knew it came within yards. It's originated within yards of that bioweapons lab. Though, duh. We knew that Fauci, what we didn't know then was that Fauci had funded that lab, and we didn't know then that Fauci had basically got the ban lifted on these gain-of-function experiments that can turn a harmless bat virus into a human killer. And here's the kicker, Howie. What we didn't know was that Fauci had gotten an email from a Scripps Institute researcher who told him flat out, hey, this thing's probably genetically engineered. He knew all of that, Howie. He did not tell the president. He did not tell the American people. Instead, he went the other way. He covered everything up with this concocted story, with this cutout I described in the In Trump Time book, Peter Daszak, who spun this yarn about this thing being from nature. I mean, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, I was just going to use that word cutout myself. You know, he used that guy Daszak, that English guy, the same way that the Clinton campaign used Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS to come up with the fiction of the dodgy dossier. You could use a cutout in the federal government just like you can in a political campaign. This is what this proves, right?
Yes, Fauci, he knew he was culpable. To cover it up, he had this guy Daszak, who also was the conduit for the money that was funneled from Fauci's shop into the Wuhan lab, right? But what Daszak did, was organize a letter writing campaign in these prestigious scientific journals that basically said this thing was from nature, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, come on, dude. It's like, so I expose all of this in the In Trump Time.
Peter Navarro, the author of In Trump Time, a journal of America's plague year.
Yeah.
He was passing out so much money. Is it possible he didn't even know that he had funded the bat virus research that had caused this terrible plague?
Not a chance in the world, because he had private correspondence with the... See, the other person here that's important is the bat lady of China, right? Xi Zhengli, right? She was the one, and by the way, she also serves in the Chinese military. She was the one that collected all the bat viruses. She personally thanked Fauci in her research papers by name, and there's plenty of correspondence between him and her, and Daszak and her, and Fauci. And no, it's not like he was an 80-year-old guy who who, like Joe Biden, has dementia and can't remember what he ate for breakfast. It wasn't that. This was a conscious cover-up. And what he is, I'm telling you, Howie, the In Trump Time book describes numerous, not just one, but numerous confrontations I had with Fauci in the Situation Room elsewhere. I was the only guy in the White House who would take that SOB on. I told the president twice to fire the guy. I almost got fired myself.
What did Trump say
publicly
when you said? I mean,
well,
it seems
this is what's interesting. Again, I talk about it in the In Trump Time book in more detail. But the short answer was, "Hey, I'm the trade guy, right? I'm telling him to fire Fauci, like Winston Churchill said about Hitler, is like strangle a baby in his crib." But on the other side, right? I'm in the room. I'm in the Oval Office. I'm there, one guy, and I'm fighting the bureaucracy, like Redfield, CDC, Azar says keep them. Stephen Hahn at the FDA says keep them. Woodcock at the FDA. And then here's a big reveal for you, Howie. Take this to the bank. That friggin' Mulvaney, who was the acting chief of staff,
Mick Mulvaney,
didn't have the stones to fire Fauci. Mick Mulvaney didn't have the stones to take Fauci on. He told the press shop, and he was afraid the press shop, that if they fired him, it would be too much blowback. Ooh, they'd get a bad story in the New York Times. Hey, how many times does that happen? Oh, about twice a day. So, you know, this was a pivotal thing, right, Howie? But I lay it all out, Howie. I lay it all out on the line. And that's just part of it. You know, it's like holding China accountable for the thing. And at the end, I talk about what happened both on November 3rd with the election. Perkins Coie comes into that again because they played a key role stealing that election. And then there's a big reveal about January 6th that'll basically render that stupid commission by Jamie Raskin moot, because the last people on God's good earth who wanted anything to happen on Capitol Hill that day was the boss, Bannon, and myself.
So what have you, has Trump seen the book, or has he commented on it?
Not yet. I personally sent it to him. Yeah, what the boss loves, he likes personal inscriptions, things like that. I sent
right.
He and Melania a copy just a few days ago, because we just got them, right? I wanted to send him a hardcover. You know what's fun about the book too? If those of you who like to read don't like the printed, they like the audio thing, like for your commutes and stuff like that. I actually recorded the book like you'd expect, but I also, the fun part is I've got a lot of different voices in the book who play their own roles. Like Bannon's in it. Corey Lewandowski steals the show in one chapter.
Bannon is in the book. You have the characters playing themselves in the audiobook? That's a great idea.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no, it is, but I couldn't figure out why nobody ever thought about that before. I think it's like too much work or something. But I got Victor Davis Hanson. I got the boss in it. I even got Fauci in it, not willingly, but I took like some of his testimony from a congressional hearing where he like dumped all over hydroxychloroquine. And
we got to break Peter Navarro. But Peter Navarro, we'll try to get you back on in a couple of weeks, okay, to talk more about this when you get to the top of the New York Times bestseller list, or you're banned from the New York Times bestseller list, whichever comes first. But Peter Navarro, former Trump economic advisor, the title of his new book is In Trump Time, A Journal of America's Plague Year, and it's published tomorrow officially. You can order it now from your usual internet sources or at your local bookstore if there still is one left. Thank you, Peter Navarro, for being with us. As always, a great guest. As we age, the fatigue and failing endurance we feel can't be fixed with more and more caffeine. Introducing a new way to start your day, Super Beats Heart Chews. They're a tasty treat to give you the energy you need and are good for you. No more afternoon coffees, energy drinks, and candy for a quick pick-me-up. Add two delicious plant-based Super Beats Heart Chews to your morning routine and promote heart-healthy energy for your day without a caffeine crash. Because Super Beats Heart Chews unique, clinically researched grapeseed extract promote heart-healthy energy and normal blood pressure as part of a healthy lifestyle. As you can see, they're wrapped in foil like the Halloween candy you were given out last night, perhaps. And they taste great, too, just like that candy. But they're not full of empty calories and distilled sugar. They have the amazing properties, the the grapeseed extract that makes you feel better. It's good for your circulation, your blood pressure, and your overall heart health. I take one in the morning before I even have my first cup of coffee, and I even have one during the show usually to give me a little burst of energy to get through the day. And that's why I choose Super Beats Heart Chews for heart healthy energy, and you should too. And you'll really enjoy them once you order them. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Heart Chews has been clinically shown to be twice as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Join over 1 million customers, get free shipping, free returns, a 90-day money-back guarantee, and right now you get a free 30-day supply with your first purchase at superbeatsradio.com/Howie. That's superbeatsradio.com/Howie. superbeatsradio.com/Howie. And if you're watching on Rumble, you're going to see me eat one right now. I'm Howie Carr.
Be a part of the show. Call 844-500-4242. And mind your manners.
People lose teeth talking like that. If you want to hang around, you'll be polite.
The Howie Carr Show will return in a moment. The Howie Carr Show.
Take a load off this fall with HelloFresh. HelloFresh delivers recipes and pre-portioned ingredients right to your door so you can actually enjoy dinner instead of stressing about meal prep and grocery shopping. Get up to 14 free meals plus free shipping with code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. That's code Howie14 at HelloFresh.com/Howie14. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Would Joe Biden be able to fill up his own car at a self-service gas station?
No way.
97% say no.
All right. 844-500-4242. Again, any candidate who wants to call in who's on the ballot tomorrow, give us a call. You can get your minute in. 844-500-4242, and we've already got some people on the line, and we're going to take as many calls as we can, and we'll just mix it in with sound cuts as we go through the rest of the hour. But the first person I want to talk to tonight is Charlie Chase, and he's running for the school committee in Fall River, and you may remember Charlie Chase. He's a big Trump guy down in Fall River, and he was assaulted by this nut in June of last year, and the guy hit him and stole his sign and all that, and the court case was just finally resolved last week. So I'm going to put Charlie on here first, just so he can. He's running for school committee in Fall River, but I want to also have him tell you about what happened in his court case. Charlie, we got about a little over a minute and a half left here before the show, before the end of the hard break. So tell us what happened with your court case against this guy who assaulted you.
Well, the judge let me have my opinion. I did that, which I only wanted my signs to be restored, and also to have some form of community service. The judge told him his decision was that even though I was very soft on him, that it was a felony and he would have to be punished for a felony, and he has received treatment, I think, for this. I think he will turn out well, even though he's probably a product of the college and the school system. Mm-hmm. It's too bad that they're turning out people.
It's a suspended. He got a suspended sentence, correct? He got a suspended sentence, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So, hey, Charlie. So, let me just tell you, people are glad it worked out for you. Tell us briefly. Why are you running for the school committee? You got about 20 seconds left. Go ahead.
Okay. I'm running for the school committee mainly because of the parents and the children and the teachers. The teachers aren't allowed to teach the way they really would like to teach because of the
on the state Board of Education's curriculum and the school curriculums.
So Charlie Chase is an at-large candidate for the school committee in Fall River tomorrow. Thanks, Charlie, and I'm glad you won the court case. We'll take your calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr. There's so much going on in the world, whether it's stuff you're excited about or stuff you'd rather not think about for too long. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can always control the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio, and their new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. They come with an improved rubber oil look and feel, plus three new sound profiles to make sure everything you're listening to sounds its best, with just the right amount of bass. There's also a built-in mic so you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And they come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, my listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/Howie. That's buyraycon.com/Howie to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/Howie.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. It's election eve, and if you're a candidate or you know a candidate, have them call 844-500-4242, and they get a minute of free advertising for themselves to make the pitch for why they should be elected to office, any office, as long as you got to be on the ballot. None of this write-in nonsense. And can't be your quote-unquote campaign manager either. It's got to be the candidate himself or herself. 844-500-4242. 617 says, fascinating guy, Howie, meeting Peter Navarro. Please have him on again soon. We will. We will have him on again very soon. I told him I think he's happy to come on. First up tonight, Cecilia, or second up after Charlie Chase, Cecilia Calabrese. She's a city council candidate for Magawam. I believe she's an incumbent. She's running the petition campaign against Transportation and Climate Initiative (TCI). So she's been on the show before. Cecilia, you got a minute to make your pitch.
Thank you so much, Howie, And hi to all those listeners out there in Agawam. I am asking for your vote for re-election. I'm sitting right now as the vice president of the Agawam City Council. I have got that relative experience that our community needs to guide us out of this COVID pandemic. I'm a past president of the Massachusetts Municipal Association. As such, I have got the skills and the background to advocate for our increased funding from the state and federal sources for our vital needs. Our infrastructure needs. We need to expand that sewer into Feeding Hills. We need to renew the stormwater runoff infrastructure. Agawam needs a new high school, a new police station. These are all things that I've got the experience to navigate us through, but you're going to need to look for my name. I'm down on line 14 on the Agawam City Council. Yes, I'm right at the bottom of the ballot. Luck of the draw, Howie, you know.
I know how it goes.
So I am asking. Thank you.
Okay, Cecilia, good luck tomorrow. Number 14 on your ballot in Agawam, 844-500-4242. What is this, a state rep race? Is she really running for state rep? Is this a special election? It would have to be a special election tomorrow. Bob Scary, find out if Lisa is really on the ballot or she's just planning to run next year, because we're not doing a planning to run next year type of deal here tonight. This is if you're on the ballot tomorrow. Bob, yes. Scary, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi, Howie. Robert Emmett Scary Jr. I was on the board for 22 years. I lost my seat, and I'm running to retain it this year. And I just don't like the direction that the school committee has taken.
Neither does Christopher Columbus.
Right. They renamed schools. They reformed the agenda to their liking. They limit the public on addressing the school committee. And they need an experienced hand that's been there and that's done it. And I'm the candidate that can bring senility, sense, and sensibility back to the school committee in Medford.
So are you running at large or district? I'm sorry, I should know this. At large, okay.
Yes.
Okay, and you have what are you on the ballot? What's your number?
I'm the 11th name on the ballot.
11th name on the ballot.
And I'm facing a machine called Our Revolution.
Uh-oh. In this case, I want some Tories in there myself, you know, not forget the revolution.
I don't blame you. I'm right with you.
All right, Bob Scarry, he's number 11 on the ballot in the city of Medford tomorrow, and he's running against Our Revolution, which is actually their revolution. 844-500-4242. I guess there's a special election for state rep in tomorrow in north of the city. Lisa Marie Cashman, what are you running for? Which district are you in?
Well, hello, Howie. How are you doing this evening?
Good.
Thank you for taking my call. We are 4th Essex State Representative. Our House Representative, Brad Hill, of 23 years, has stepped down.
Oh, right. Okay. Right. Yeah.
As Gaming Commissioner, as you may know. And this is a special election. It came up pretty quick. We have a primary tomorrow. On the Republican ticket is myself and another candidate, Robert Snow. And... So my
never name your opponent, Lisa. Come on, you should know better than that.
I feel pretty good that I'm running an excellent campaign, and you know what? At the end of the day, Howie, whoever wins, we're both on the same side, so it's okay. But what I want to tell you about why I'm running. I'm running because I believe I have the leadership skills necessary to take us to the next level. As you might know, the 4th Essex has been gerrymandered. Our district is being cut up in the following year. So
that's because it's a Republican district. There's 30 out of 100 out of 160, so they'd have to do away with a couple of them.
Well, it happens every 10 years they try, don't they? And so, of course, as Brad was leaving and not able to stay through the end of the year because he had that position, you know, this is how successful they were.
All right, Lisa Marie Cashman, you're running on the Republican side in the district, the old Brad Hill district up in sort of the horse country in Essex County. Good luck, Lisa Marie Cashman. Jamie O'Hara, you're next with Howie Carr. What are you running for, Jamie?
I am an at-large councilor seeking re-election at-large in the city of Gloucester.
Okay.
I've been in 3 terms of 6 years, Howie, and I'm a huge advocate of the people. I stand up for the people, the taxpayers of the city of Gloucester. I encourage their participation. Everyone should get involved in their own city or town government, whether it's obviously as an elected official or just standing up as a citizen, because power is in numbers, and we know that whether at a local, state, or federal level. So I am, again, an advocate of the people, Howie.
All right, Jamie. And what number are you on the ballot?
I'm number one, Howie. I'm always at number one. So people are just... Jamie O'Hara. Can't miss me, Howie. I appreciate you. You have a great show. Thank you.
Thank you. Jamie O'Hara is running in the Gloucester. Michael Flaherty. He is a at-large city councilor in the city of Boston. He topped the ticket in the preliminary. Michael Flaherty, you've got a minute to make your pitch again.
Good evening, Howie. Thanks for having me on. Just want to give your listeners a shout-out and just ask them for one of their 4 votes tomorrow when they go to the polls in Boston. So it's an exciting day. We're going to be electing a new mayor. We're going to have at least 5 new councilors, and hopefully I'll return to the Boston City Council.
Since I think you're in pretty good shape, I got to ask you about these ballot hundreds of mail-in ballots disappeared on you and Ed Flynn. Just happened to be the two Irish Catholic guys from South Boston who were born here.
You know,
so what a coincidence!
I know, District 2, Ward 6. A number of folks that requested mail-in ballots did not receive them, and we've got dozens of signed affidavits from residents that requested ballots and didn't receive them. Unfortunately, obviously, the Postal Service is doing the duck, dodge, and hide. And, I think the city's election department and the Secretary of State sort of took the bait because when they did the sting on the letter carrier, the day that they actually caught him was so he didn't dump any ballots that day. But, you know, the 2 weeks before is when he did the damage. So that's where the scoop lies. Unfortunately, residents didn't get ballots. Along with their utility bills and other matters they were waiting for. So for those that are listening to your show that requested a mail-in ballot, if they've yet to receive it, they're not getting one, Howie. They need to go to the polls tomorrow and cure that. And that's really the message here. If you requested a ballot and you haven't received it as of today, November 1st, you need to make arrangements and go to the polls if you want your vote to count. Dozens of folks, particularly in Ward 6, Precinct 7, 8, 9, didn't get ballots that they requested, so they're going to have to go vote in person. So for other folks out there that are listening, if you requested a mail-in ballot in your own community and you haven't received it, you got to go vote.
What's your theory on why this guy did this? Was he just lazy, or did he have something against certain types
of
people?
Sure. Apparently, there's a video. Apparently, a resident caught him on video just grabbing mail and dumping it in the trash. So I don't really know what's behind it, whether it's a mental health issue, whether it's a post-traumatic stress issue, whether the person's got a gambling or drug problem. Who knows what would prompt someone to grab a fistful of mail and just dump it along the way to lighten the bag up. But the fact of the matter is, in addition to missing ballots, people didn't get their National Grid bill, their Comcast bill, their
Oh, good
bill.
Lord.
They actually just got double bills this week here. I heard from residents that they didn't get it last month, so they got a double whammy here. And so, again, who knows what happened, but because of the failure of the United States Postal Service to deliver those ballots, folks are now going to need to go out to vote tomorrow. So for the folks that were aware of the situation, contact the election department. The election department did send out second ballots, which is a good thing. They did it in a timely manner. But this didn't come to light till Friday afternoon after residents talked to their letter carriers, and they were asking their letter carriers why they didn't get their ballot and why they didn't get other mail. It was the letter carriers that shared the story that there was a rogue letter carrier among them that was covering in on their shifts, apparently worked five different routes over the last month, and that's where the mail, and particularly these ballots, apparently went. So we know, and the United States Postal Service is not going to admit that the ballots went missing. They clearly didn't just evaporate. Something happened to the ballots, and we talked to the residents, Council Flynn and I talked to the seniors and the veteran, and there was some folks with disabilities. We told them when they go to vote tomorrow, if there's a problem, if the election department is telling them that they can't vote because they already voted, we're telling them to get provisional ballot. We're telling you to get a provisional ballot. So if anyone's listening here that goes to vote tomorrow and they're told that they can't vote because they've already voted, yet they never received the ballot in the mail, they have to ask for a provisional ballot, and then they have to call their local election department.
You know, I mean, you are in all likelihood going to be reelected fairly easily, but those like third and fourth slots could be pretty close. I mean, this could make a difference,
really,
couldn't
it? Yeah, 3, 4, 5 in Boston, 3, 4, 5, and arguably 6 are pretty close, negligible. So, a vote here, a vote there. If you remember the last election, one of the at-large councils literally won by one vote. So every vote matters. No one should be disenfranchised. And if someone requested a ballot by mail, they should have received one. And the fact that there was a failure in that delivery by the United States Postal Service, and there are residents, again, who have signed affidavits under the pains and penalties of perjury that they requested a ballot and didn't get one, someone has some explaining to do. And the fact that they caught a postal worker,
charged?
A letter carrier.
Has he been charged?
Yes, apparently they, and apparently
federal?
In further investigation. And then, I don't know. I don't have the details on that. I know that the resident that saw him dumping the mail apparently took a video of it and called local police, who notified the postal police, and therein lies where it is. So I believe he's been suspended right now pending the investigation. And he's got some explaining to do, and they're now going to track the other routes that he was working on, and to try to find out if they can kind of connect all these dots. But at the end of the day, Howie, the election is tomorrow. The election is tomorrow, and in Ward 6, dozens of people requested a mail-in ballot and didn't get one. They have to go to the polls, and if you have listeners in any other community, if they've requested a mail-in ballot and haven't received it, they have to cure that by going to the polls. One's not coming to them.
Yeah.
So that's the message I have today, to make sure that everyone...
And if someone else has already voted, just get a provisional ballot. Well, thank you, Michael Flaherty, and good luck. Good luck tomorrow, and thanks for filling us in on what's been going on in Ward 6. That's South Boston, obviously. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. We'll take more of your calls again. You got one final segment if you're a candidate for any office in our listening in within the sound of my voice. You can call in 844-500-4242 and get a minute, as long as we run out of minutes. I'm Howie Carr.
Born in Maine, made in Massachusetts, and now a resident of the Sunshine State, Howie Carr, the original carpetbagger.
Gave you a gun and the authority to use it. One is no good without the other. They don't know that out there. So they'll scream blue murder until the next time they need a man with a badge.
Howie Carr.
609 says, remind Maine voters to vote yes on question one to ban the CMP corridor. Well, someone can call in and say that. I live in Massachusetts some of the year, but I would vote yes to ban the corridor if I lived in Maine, just on general principle. Michael McCabe, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Michael. What are you running for?
Hi, Howie. I'm running for mayor in Westfield, Massachusetts. I'm a Republican, and I'm running against the incumbent mayor, Don Humison, who had a long-time stint as a rep and a senator from...
Who's also a Republican. Who's also a Republican,
who was also
right?
Also a Republican.
Right.
I'm the guy that retired after almost 40 years as a cop, as a captain. Been a public servant kind of my whole life, that surrounds budgets and personnel and management, executive decision-making processes. So I figured it was kind of a track to continue on my work with after retirement to run for mayor, because I think that there's some key things within the city that we can work on. One of them is obviously budgeting, but the other is roads, traffic, and infrastructure, which is a little bit of a disaster for us out here on the western side of the state. We're trying to get to work with DOT and, keep things moving forward so you can get a couple of lanes open is proven problematic, but maybe that's something that we can get done in the near future.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Michael McCabe, running for mayor of Westfield against the incumbent Donald Humison, who was former state senator. John Connolly. John, what are you running for?
I'm in the Melrose School Committee.
Melrose School Committee? Didn't Melrose have a problem last week?
It was overblown, really. She said something she shouldn't have said. But I'm independent, and I'm running there. We listened to you since the beginning. My wife and I were from the city.
Thank you. Thank you. So you don't think it was too bad what she did? She kind of tried to ban Halloween.
The superintendent. She's making such a big deal of it. It was it's all week long, all month long. But she doesn't. She's a good one, I think.
Okay.
Anyhow.
So what do you what else do you want to do when you're on the school committee, John?
Well, keep the kids in school and don't bring any stuff in that is for the adults to discuss. The kids don't need that. They ABCs. They need the math. The math is down 16%, and they got to get on the ball. Watch the kids. They're taking too many drugs and suicides. There's a lot of serious stuff. So they got to get on the ball and keep the kids in school and let them learn.
All right. John, thank you very much. Thanks for calling in. And that's going to be about it. We could probably take one more call if we had it. 413, thanks for the shout-out regarding TCI, Transportation Climate Initiative, the thing Cecilia Calabrese is in charge of, getting the signatures to stop Charlie Parker's tax increase on gasoline. Several people came to sign the petition Saturday and said they heard about it on the Howie Carr Show. Glad to be of service, Rambo. We'll be pushing it again next week and the week after that. 508 about the ballots being thrown out. How come this only happened in the Irish Catholic areas? Well, I asked Michael Flaherty about that myself, but it seems like if the guy was throwing away utility bills, it probably wasn't an attempt to screw Flaherty and Flynn. Although, you kind of get paranoid after a while the way things are going. 844-500-4242, 339. Unfortunately, the post office, like other industries, can't get good help. They just hire any warm body. The PO workers used to be very reputable. There are still many, but the numbers are decreasing. I guess so. There's always been this kind of problem, though, that someone goes rogue and throws away the mail. See you tomorrow. Be sure to vote wherever you are. I'm Howie Carr.